This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Landfill playing bangers today. High noon in the District of Columbia, and it's time to talk NFL with our guy, Mr. Pat Leonard, NFL columnist for the New York Daily News, of course, talking ball with Pat Leonard. I got to start with some personal questions, Pat. Thank you for making time for us. I don't know if you saw Pat down at Radio Row.
I did.
But he has so many endorsements going now. He looked like a male model every day walking around the New Orleans Convention Center because he's got his own fashion endorsement. You have some like health and wellness stuff popping. What is going on, man? How are you?
Yeah, man. No, I'm doing great. Thanks for the plug. Well, listen, you guys are the pros at this. You know, you were rocking Radio Row, like everybody's walking by saying hi to you.
They're saying hi to me.
But. But I'm there, you know, that's my maiden voyage with my Talking Ball podcast. And frankly, JP, the only way I was able to get there, this isn't a plug, this is just the reality. It was because of those sponsors, you know, Boom Chaga, Mushroom Super Drink.
What is that?
Colorado for Men, my bookie. Boom Chaga it's like a supplement that you pour. It's a liquid. It comes in a packet and you pour it into your coffee or your tea or your water. And, you know, it reduces inflammation. It can lower cholesterol, has antioxidants. And, yeah, I put it in my coffee every morning. I'm a crazy coffee drinker. So they have, like, mushroom coffees out there that some people swear by or like.
Yeah,
but this is cool because you can kind of control what you're putting it in.
Can you send us some? I'll try it. When I saw 100%. That it was mushroom,
boom,
like
boom chaga is what it's called.
You don't trip,
boom
right?
Boom chaga. Yeah, you can use my code too. I got a code. It's TalkingBall25. Everybody right. Listen, you get a discount.
Is it a hallucinogenic?
It is not.
Okay.
It is not.
Well, JP not interested in.
If it was, I figured I would be able to land Aaron Rodgers pretty quickly as a guest. You know?
That's the perfect segue, dude. Let's start there. What do you think happens? You think Rodgers is out of the league?
Ooh. No. No, I don't. I think the interesting part right now is, what does he get versus what he wants? Like, you know, it seems like he's a way better fit for a team that would not be contending. Like, you know, the Raiders just need a quarterback on the field, or the Tennessee Titans as they're kind of rebuilding and gives them a shot in the arm, gets people in the stands. Rodgers obviously has a higher opinion of himself than I think the rest of the league does at the moment. But I think out west is probably where he's looking. It's just a question of where it's going to be a fit, right? You know, like you look at the LA Rams. If Matthew Stafford gets traded, then I personally would circle the Rams as the place for Rodgers. But listen, that makes sense for Rodgers. That would be great for him. Does that make sense for the Rams? Right? Like that's the question you have to ask yourself there. How much better do they get? I think they become a worse team immediately if they trade Stafford and then end up signing or trading for an Aaron Rodgers. This is a guy who likes to run the offense the way he does and kind of make all the checks and own it. But that's McVay's offense, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's where ideally he would like to be, but I'm not quite sure that it makes sense for all parties involved.
So Aaron wants to be in L.A. It's not that L.A. wants Aaron.
I don't, you know, I there's that revolving door of what happens with Stafford that dictates that. I think I can't tell you L.A. does not want him. I think that as far as I know, the Rams understand that keeping and getting something done with Stafford is that that's their best path to being a good or better team next season.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but you guys know as well as I do, it's hard to do, but like the best teams are able to kind of cut bait right before it becomes obvious to everybody else it's time, not after, right? You don't want to pay Matthew Stafford $50 million a year as the Rams, and then suddenly he goes into a steep decline immediately. And now you have these young players like Jared Verse on defense that you've added, and you've started to kind of turn over the roster with Puka Nacua, but now you're like saddled for another 2 years, let's say, by an Albatross veteran quarterback contract. So that's a decision they have to make. I mean, I interviewed I had Adam Schefter on the podcast last week, asked him that directly. He had the same read on, you know, Matthew Stafford, essentially he and the Rams trying to get something done now. That's the priority. But B. Mitch, I think if the Rams, if Stafford ends up getting traded, they first would, I think, want a young quarterback in the building to develop. But also, listen, they were a good Jalen Carter pass rush away from potentially beating the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
In the playoffs. So like, it's not like they're a team that's in full rebuild mode anymore. Is Rodgers the guy then?
I would question that.
Does Sean want to deal with his BS?
I know. Listen, if I were running the Rams, I think my choice would be to go elsewhere. But, you know, when you talk about, okay, who would be your quarterback next season if it wasn't Stafford so that you could compete? I don't know. Would it be Kirk Cousins after he gets released by the Falcons? I mean, you guys, you know, in that market, talk about not needing a quarterback. Holy cow. I mean, what a luxury.
It's a different world down here, dude. It hasn't been like this in a long time.
It is a different world. And, you know, that becomes that's a tough question for the Rams. It really is. Tough question.
Well, this is inside information from my wife listening to Stafford's wife's podcast. I don't think they want to leave L.A. We're talking with our friend Pat Leonard here on the Rood guest hotline. Rood is the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. You can follow Pat at P. Leonard, NYDN. Read all his work at the New York Daily News. Check out the Talking Ball podcast. Let's go to the Giants then, because I know the Giants have been, I think, the most connected team with these Stafford rumors, whether they're real or just rumors.
You don't want to leave L.A. and go there.
Dude, if you're Daboll and Shane, who held on to their jobs by a fingernail, they got to do something to win now, right?
Yeah. I mean, the quote going around right now, guys, is Joe Shane swearing, you know, I'm not going to throw any Hail Marys to save my job this year. But let's be honest. First of all,
that's the only way you're going to save it.
Yeah, right, exactly. You kind of have to. Also, what people don't recognize, because it wasn't a quarterback, the trade for Brian Burns last year was a Hail Mary. Like, they gave up a second-round pick that they could have used on Kamari Lassiter, a rookie corner who starred for the Texans opposite Derek Stingley. And they also paid Burns an above-market contract that neared $30 million a year. That was like a, wow, we really need to upgrade our front, our pass rush. You know, this might be go for broke time. If we don't succeed this year, it might be curtains. So they overspent there for a guy. Like, they've already done it. So the idea that they wouldn't do it again, especially when they literally have no quarterback on the roster other than Tommy DeVito, I think Stafford is definitely on the table. I mentioned Cousins earlier. You know, guys, it's funny. Like, if you were the Giants, okay, you have the number 3 overall pick. There's Shedeur Sanders. There's Cam Ward.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, hypothetically, even you are drafting one of those guys. How are you making sure you're winning games in weeks 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of this season to save your job, to show ownership progress? Even with that rookie in the building feeling, oh, we got a guy we can develop, it just doesn't add up to me to help them be a competitive team out of the gate in a division that, because of Jaden now, because the Eagles, Super Bowl champions, like it's as difficult as ever. So I think they have to go a veteran route, even if they draft a QB. And I think Stafford is the most attractive name out there right now.
I will take Stafford before I take Kirk. And then again, Kirk may not want to deal with that again because what happened to him just a while ago.
Stafford also looked good last year. Yeah. Stafford is still performing at a high level. Do you really think the Giants will take Shador or Cam Ward? Giants are a third, right?
You know, the word is, yeah, they're third. Titans are one, Browns are two. The word is that Shane loves Shador, that the Giants love Shador. They have a high opinion of Cam Ward's talents, too. I do think the Titans, I don't know, they've thrown up a lot of signs that they want to trade back from one. We'll see if they actually do. They also need a quarterback. The Browns need a quarterback at two. JP, to answer your question, if job preservation was not an issue, which of course it is in the NFL, especially for the Giants, if it wasn't an issue, I think the best path for them is to take the best player there, and it's probably an Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
Or honestly, I would rather it be an offensive lineman if I were the Giants, but you know, if it's Travis Hunter, whatever, I think you just need talent. They don't have a lot of talent on their team. I think the cheap veteran plus the number three pick being a stud position player plus maybe a second or third round quarterback who you can get in and develop is the right team building way to go. Now,
right.
Let's see if they actually do that.
Does Joe Shane want to deal with Deion?
Well, B-Mitch, I'm glad you said that because let's be honest, the second, if the Giants drafted Shedeur Sanders with Brian Daboll potentially not even lasting six games this fall, depending on how it goes, Deion Sanders immediately becomes a candidate to be the Giants' next head coach.
Wow.
Now, you know, would they hire him? Would he actually leave Colorado? He threw up a lot of flares this offseason to kind of test the market. I'm not saying the Giants would do it. I'm just saying he's already said on the record that if he left for the NFL, it would be to coach his son. You know, Daboll is dead man walking right now as far as the coaching carousel goes. I think you make a great point. If Deion's not the coach, listen, he's very outspoken. He's fun to listen to, right? He knows what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. But if he's Colorado's head coach out there, let's say Shador doesn't start week one and Deion starts talking out in Colorado about my son's not starting, what's going on? Or it's week six and he throws two interceptions and the coach says something publicly about we got to start turning the ball over. Just becomes like a slippery slope there.
It does.
All right, now I'm going to make sure I got you quoted correctly because that's a tweet waiting to happen, Pat. I got, if the Giants end up drafting Shador Sanders, then eventually Deion Sanders becomes a major contender to coach
make
the
sure
Giants.
You get this right, JP. I don't want you messing up.
I'm so. Asking him.
I would say, here's what I would say.
Okay.
I would say let's start here.
We don't have to tweet it, dude. It gets complicated.
You can tweet it. No, right. I've written it. No, for sure. Joe Shane and Daboll are both under pressure going into this season. But when I listened to John Mara standing there right in front of him on breakup day, even though he was saying none of it was good enough, it sounded to me like he had lost patience more so with the coach than the general manager. I could be wrong about that. I do feel, though, that Shane has some stronger kind of tethers and tentacles in there. Mara is very enamored with how he runs the draft and runs the personnel process.
Helps that draft last year was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure. So that being the case, you know, he's also asked Daboll to give up play calling, do all those kind of things. I think that Daboll is on a hotter seat. And if Daboll gets fired and Shane is still here, I believe Deion Sanders would become a candidate to be the next head coach, assuming they draft Shador. So the dots connected are you draft Shador as your new franchise QB and Daboll gets fired and maybe Shane still has some more rope. I believe, yes, in that scenario, Deion would become a candidate.
Gotcha. That's good context there. And it's also a perfect example. B and I talk about all the time that the NFL is a self-preservation league.
Hell yeah.
So many executives and coaches are just focused on keeping their job because the job it's one of the coolest things to do in the world. And this is an exact example of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you had somebody that was solely focused on the best future for the New York Giants, you draft Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter there. And I don't think there's really much discussion about it. I think the quarterbacks in this draft, they might end up being good players, but if you're just ranking top talent, they don't crack the top 20 in this draft.
Right. No, but, and you know what, JP, not to start to interrupt, I wouldn't, not that I would pass on a Travis Hunter because he's a Heisman winner, he's amazing, he could play two ways. But for the Giants, it really also comes down to the lines. Like, if there was an offensive lineman, they had Judge at number three there, I would say Carter or insert offensive lineman there.
Well, and the flip side of that is, but if you're Shane and Dable and you draft a rookie quarterback and then you don't play him for six games because he's not ready, we got to go with our bridge guy, then you play him five games and it's rough, but then that last four-game stretch, he shows real promise. Voila, we're back for next year because we got to be here to see things go through with this quarterback.
There you go.
Like, that's how this stuff works.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right. And, you know, that you would just have to have the beginning of the season go well enough or tread water well enough that you could get to that point as the regime. Although, like we just saw last year, I mean, it couldn't be any worse here and the guys still have the job. So nobody really knows what kind of the Giants standard is anymore. Let me ask you a question. Is Myles Garrett, are you guys going to get Myles Garrett down in Washington?
We want him.
I don't know that he gets out of Cleveland, man. And I think this is more than him just wanting a new contract. But I do think Cleveland throws some guaranteed money on the books for this year, says, listen, we're going to go get Kirk. We're going to go get somebody to compete this year. And, you know, give us a year. Give us a chance. Because I think there's a real relationship there. I think the contract structure makes it really hard for Garrett to get dealt. I think if a trade becomes realistic, I think Washington's in play. But keep in mind, like, everybody's kind of moved past it because it happened at the end of the trade deadline last year. They did give some stuff up to get Lattimore, and I think inside that building, they think they already added a stud defensive player and will get him for two more years. That said, Lattimore ain't Garrett, and you put Garrett on this team, all of a sudden, do they beat Philly in the NFC title game? I don't know. It gets a lot more interesting.
Did you get a chance to see how Mara felt with Saquon him going to the Super Bowl, and he had an unbelievable year?
Yeah, did Mara talk?
He has not talked to us since the Super Bowl, no.
He couldn't be feeling good, man.
I mean, I'll tell you this. The closest thing I have had to, you know, knowing what Mara is feeling right now is I had Amani Toomer, the Giants legend, on my podcast last week. And he just kind of, as he was talking about everything that's going wrong with the franchise, he said, I know the owner's not happy. And, you know, and it's like, you know, clearly a very recent kind of connection there to how John Mara is feeling. But obviously, guys, the disconnect is there because John can say, I'm not happy. But if you're running it back and everything stays the same, then everyone kind of throws up their hands and says, what's going on? And where it stands in Giants land is prior to the Super Bowl, Michael Strahan did a segment where he interviewed Saquon Barkley for Fox. And at the end of it, he grabbed an Eagles flag and waved it in the air during the segment and said that he would do this on Barkley's behalf because he has so much respect for him. And I talked in depth to Amani about what that meant. A lot of these Giants legends are fed up. Like,
Strahan?
So Strahan did this segment on Fox, like during a pregame segment where he waved an Eagles flag, fly Eagles fly.
Oh. And
so the Giants, so Amani Toomer went on a radio show on ESPN New York here and said that was a warning shot at the organization. And as I interviewed Amani and asked him what exactly this is about, he said a lot of former Giants feel the way that Strahan kind of articulated there, which is they're very disappointed. They don't have a real answer to what the direction of the franchise is.
Okay, I got you.
And they want to see the Giants turn this around, but they don't know where it starts and ends. And that's kind of where the whole Giants landscape is. Everybody wants answers. And they're not – the former players, the legends, are not hearing what they want to hear from the leadership all the way up to ownership.
That's interesting. And if I had to guess, and I don't know, but, like, if you're Shane and Dable, you're probably not that kind to former players coming around as you guys suck and nobody can figure it out. When you start to get that divide, we kind of saw that, as the Ron thing started falling apart. That gets difficult. Shout out to our guy, Ryan. He just tweeted me, Pat. He said, what a great interview. So I told him to follow our guy, Pat Leonard, P. Leonard, NYDN. Read his work in the Daily News. Check out the Talking Ball podcast. Real quick on this. Does Darius Slayton get out of New York? That's an interesting name to me.
That is an interesting one. That's a good question, JP, because he's kind of – this is like the story of his career. He's kind of in that sweet spot. Like, he's not, you know, a top five, let's say,
right,
potentially available free agent receiver. So he's not immediately pricing himself out of the building, right? But he's also – he's valuable as, like, a consistent, you know, number three, ideally, on a good offense and team. And the Giants have – one of their major problems in recent years has been not only, like, letting go of good players, they've also let go because they've misjudged, like, kind of the character guys from their locker room. Like, you guys just saw kind of the rebuild of a culture and the character of a locker room down there pretty quickly. The Giants have kind of gone the other way. And Slayton, very involved in the community, won the NFLPA award.
Yeah, I saw – I talked to him in New Orleans on the red carpet.
Oh, cool. Yeah, Flex. And they were – you know, he's very respected in the locker room. He spoke for the team very well at the end of the season when things were going haywire. So, listen, you're still paying people for production, obviously.
Sure, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They can't be in the business, because they already are, of letting Julian Love, Xavier McKinney, Leonard Williams, Saquon Barkley, like all of these guys who, okay, they're good players, but these are guys that players on offense and defense were looking to for leadership that the organization adjudged were not worth whatever they were looking for. So does Slayton get out of the building? I think if he commands a significant contract, yes. But if he ends up in that middle ground of free agency, then I think the Giants have to go to whatever that number is conceivably, because they can't ignore that element. But I my short answer, JP, would be he gets out. I think, you know, he's not a player who's going to dictate terms necessarily.
Right.
I think he wants to go somewhere where he can win and someone's going to notice his play.
Come on down the road, bro.
Yo, Pat, thank you, dude. We kept
Appreciate you, Pat.
Appreciate you, brother.
No, you guys are awesome. Take care.
All right, man.
That's our boy, Pat Leonard, New York Daily News. Phone lines open at 1 o'clock.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. When the game tips off, the NBA action is just beginning on FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because FanDuel is your home for NBA live betting. So even if you miss the first few minutes of the game or want to bet on a fourth-quarter comeback, you can make your picks from the first whistle until the final buzzer. Plus, you can even combine your live bets into a same-game parlay for a shot at a bigger payout. However you want to play, now is the perfect time to join. New FanDuel customers get started with $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to join today. That's FanDuel.com/Brian for your shot at $150 in bonus bets. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner, 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years or older and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Saw the Rooster, B. He was just settling in the exact middle of the bullpen to do his television hit. And I said, Roos, what's up? He's like, I'm doing this just for you, baby. So we got that going for us.
You got a whole studio over there. He just decided to hell with the studio. I'll do it right in the middle of the damn whole building and make everybody else's lives miserable.
All right. Great conversation there with Pat Leonard. If you missed any of that, get on the Odyssey app or YouTube, however you access it, go access it, because it's dope. Got this article, B, 21 notable cut candidates. Salary cap cuts. Debo, top of the list, Debo Samuel.
I can see that.
Yeah, man, it saves them $5 million against the cap. It's not a ton. Maybe they get I think they're still going to try to get.
Once they paid Ayuk,
yeah,
it was over for Debo.
And they still got to pay Brock.
Yeah.
I can see it, though. I think, look, when somebody asks you to trade them and you say yes, eventually that dude's probably not going to be on your team unless you're going to do a new contract.
More than likely, yeah.
So Debo, I see. This one I categorically disagree with. Marshawn Lattimore. Marshawn Lattimore is a four-time Pro Bowl cornerback, but those four Pro Bowl seasons all came between 2017 and 21. Since 22, he's missed 25 games with a variety of injuries. Washington traded for him at the 24 deadline, sending a package of picks, but only getting two regular season games and three playoff contests out of him. And notably, he was awful in the postseason, earning a horrific 29.6 coverage grade from PFF and allowing 10 catches for 172 and a 136 passer rating on 14 targets.
Mm-hmm.
With a release, his entire $18 million cap hit would become savings in 25. And while the Commanders are in superb shape, projected to be $75 million under the cap, they might rather spend those millions elsewhere as they seek to build around Jaden Daniels and become a lasting powerhouse in the NFC. It would be a bit surprising to trade for a player of Lattimore's career caliber and then cut him a few months later, but it might take too much sense given all the variables. I categorically disagree.
I don't see that happening like that. But, you know.
Adam Peters was asked about Lattimore at the season wrap-up presser and said, we can't wait to have him back, have him in our system, get him healthy, get him to know exactly how we run our defense. Like, I get it's easy to look at a team's salary cap on SpotRack or over the cap and then
make it up.
Well, dude, it's not like a hard game. If you just look at who has guaranteed money and who would create a cap savings, like it's not hard content to create. And if you look at Lattimore, he's got an $18 million cap number with no dead money, and you could really release them all. They just traded for him. I just don't see that happening. This team talks about building through the draft, and I don't think giving up picks and reworking the deal and all that to get it done. I don't see that happening whatsoever. I don't see really any outright releases with these guys. I am very curious what, if anything, happens with Allen's contract. It's a $22 million cap hit. No guarantees on there. You could clear a bunch of cash. I don't think, though, frankly, with John, that they're looking to do a release or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you try to rework the deal. But, dude, even if you just keep him and pay him at that rate, compared to the market, John was hurt most of last season. Wasn't his best. Wasn't Payne's best. But compared to the market, you know, there's going to be multiple players making $30 million next year.
Yeah.
You owe him 22. Some money's going to get spent regardless.
Some money's going to get spent. But I don't think it's going to, that defense is going to look just like it did in the middle.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. Well, I think you also add to the edges. The edges were not good against the run, and that had a real negative impact in the interior.
It totally did.
If you go back and look at some of the playoff games, they had Allen lining up on the edge in what were clear run situations. That was fairly telling. Going elsewhere around the NFL, I'm curious how long they play the let's get the best out of a veteran that has been good and everybody thinks might be done. Cam Jordan, down with the Saints, in his 15th season in New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
He might be a future Hall of Fame type player. It'd be crazy for New Orleans to cut him, but they got new coach, new staff, and he's got a $20 million cap hit, and they could save $12 million if they cut him.
What was his numbers last year?
He's 35.
No, I'm saying his stats. What did he do?
I think he's had at least like 6 sacks in 10 straight years or something. I'll pull it up. The Saints cap situation is a mess. Cam Jordan had 4 sacks and a pick. Wasn't expecting the pick. 4 sacks, 4 forced fumbles, 34 tackles, played all 17 games. Was not as impactful as he's been, but at the same time, that defense kind of wasn't that good.
Mm-hmm.
So is it kind of chicken or egg on that? He turns 36 in July. Bam. Like,
still playing.
This sounds crazy. because we're so used to guys being born in 2000. Cam Jordan was born in the 80s.
80 what?
89. Still. I don't think that would be somebody that lands here, but it wouldn't shock me. This is actually reasonable. He says if he's willing to reduce his pay to finish his career in New Orleans, maybe he remains on the roster. Maybe you want to just finish there. You've been there 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
The Saints situation, though, is such a mess. Maybe we'll get Paris on at some point to talk a little Bayou football. The Saints are projected to be $53 million over the cap. Like, Derek Carr has a $52 million cap number. Cam Jordan has a $20 million cap number. Like, you can't carry those dudes and compete. Now, the Carr situation is a mess because if you give him post-June 1, then you do create some savings, but it's still a lot of dead money, man. Yeah, paying Derek Carr that extension was wildly stupid.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the plan. 1 o'clock, phone lines are open. It is Bleep You Thursday. B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. College basketball is heating up. I mentioned earlier, I stayed up last night. I watched Auburn fight off Arkansas. I'm curious what White Brian's blog title was for that, because Arkansas gave him a hell of a game. As we all know, White Brian's an Auburn alum. It's pretty much all he thinks about. Sorry, Rose. All he thinks about is Auburn. he's obsessed with the basketball team.
Maniac daughter goes to Auburn.
I have a take. This kid on Auburn, I think his name's Broom. Is that right?
Yep, Janai Broom.
He's a fantastic player. Big guy, can hit, like, he can do it all.
Mm-hmm.
He might have the worst haircut on a college athlete I've ever seen in my life. He's like going bald but has cornrows. Like, it's a rough
look. What's his name?
Janai Broom.
All right. How can you be a college student going bald?
I don't know if I'm describing it right, but it doesn't look great.
Janai?
Yeah, J-O-H-N-I.
How did you describe, what was your write-up of Auburn last night for the Auburn.com or whatever you write for?
Yeah, I said they did not look razor sharp back home. A little pun on Razorback.
Okay. I kind of like the pun. I also think, who's my guy now? Calipari is coaching at Arkansas. He seems to have lost his fastball. If he ever had it, like the in-game coaching decisions late in that game, oh, you just saw his
haircut?
He looked
like he's 44.
You
don't look 22, dog.
Shave it off or something. I know NIL, these kids are staying in school longer. He looks LeBron's age.
He looks a little old, dog.
He can play, though. Calipari, like, Arkansas kept that thing close, and they just did not make the right decisions late.
Yeah,
he was 23, 19, and 5.
It's hard to tell what's wrong with good. That team.
I also don't care because I watched Auburn, and then I watched Bama. Now, Bama got boat raced by Mizzou, which was how the system called it, by the way. Yo, my boy Mathers, big Bama fan, texted me. He's like, you picked against Bama? What the hell? I was like, yo, it's not me. It's the system. But that was a spot last night for Mizzou. They were on fire. They had two dudes that probably had 25 or 30. If I could bet, somebody told me, my boy Bakari told me, that there's a bet somewhere out there that the next Super Bowl winner plays their home games in the state of Maryland. So it's a way to bet the Ravens or the Commanders to win the Super Bowl.
You can do that?
Bakari said he found it somewhere. I don't know. Bakari is from the Bahamas, so maybe he's got some offshore friends. If I could get action, White Brian, do you know if I could get this on the college basketball champion coming from the state of Alabama? Does that bet exist?
I don't think that one does. I know you can bet on it coming from the SEC.
The SEC's 8 of the top 10 teams or whatever.
Yeah, that's a heavily favored one.
I think Auburn or Bama wins it. I think, when's the matchup with Auburn and Bama, which I guess will be in Auburn?
Yeah, it'll be the last game of the season. I believe it's March 10th.
Didn't they play it already?
Yeah, they played twice. Yeah.
They could play 4 times because they'll get the second regular season, could be the SEC championship, and then a possible Final Four.
Why, Brian, I'm telling you now, I'm taking Bama in the second game at Auburn. Just want you to know. Ideally, I'm getting like 4.5. but I'm taking him.
Could be like six and a half, seven.
Let it grow, baby. If it gets high enough, I might take the money line.
Wembanyama out for the season?
Duke is obviously really good. Wemby's out?
Yep.
That just happened?
Yeah, it just popped up. He has deep vein thrombosis, whatever that is. In his shoulder.
The old deep vein thrombosis. We tried that in college. That's too bad. I don't know. Can I ask are the Spurs good?
Probably not.
Like, my immediate reaction to Wemby being out for the year was something no one's ever heard of, is they are not going to make the playoffs and they just want to rest them. Because the NBA is about
23
perpetual
and 29.
Rest. They're the 12 seed in the NBA, so that wouldn't even make the play-in, right? The play-in is 8 through 11, or maybe even 7 through 10. I think that's just like, hey, Wemby, rest up, buddy.
They've lost, no. Well, San Antonio, that was Phoenix, but they're 23 and 29. So
that just reeks of tanking to me. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's a bad thrombosis. I'm not a doctor, White Mike.
We know that.
Brian. What's that?
We know that.
You haven't watched much of any college hoops yet, B?
Sparingly.
It's heating up for me. The Duke is really good.
I've watched a lot of, about three or four Duke games.
They look really good. Flag looks like the real deal. White Brian, get me up to speed on Florida.
I really like Florida. Their kid, Walter Clayton Jr., is probably going to be SEC first team. Thomas Houck, great last name, great forward. And then Elijah Martin is an FAU transfer. He was on the team that made it to the Final Four. He's their second leading scorer. So Florida's really good.
Okay.
This is deep vein thrombosis is serious. It's a blood clot.
Assuming you actually have it.
There's a blood clot that if it releases, it can get up in the lungs. So you got to get that right.
Shut that down. You got to get that right. Yeah. Assuming you actually have it, you got to make sure you take care of that. The most important college basketball game in the country tonight, Landfill, College Park after dark. The Terps hosting the USC Trojans. White Brian, you are our college basketball expert. What do I need to know about USC? Are they any good? I hope they stink.
Kind of like Calipari seems to be taking a vacation with Arkansas. I think Eric Musselman just decided to enjoy the sun in California. They don't really care.
Okay. Maryland's 10.5-point favorites, which tends to make me a little nervous, but they were 10.5-point favorites against Iowa over the weekend when I was at that game, and they put up 100 and won by 30. So this Terps team can score, dude. They can fill it up. All five of their starters can drop 20 any night. Now, the bench isn't all that deep. I think they play pretty hard defense. Here's what I got on USC. This is from Jay Billis's column that Landfill sent me. USC Trojans, the 64th best team in the country. He says, wins at Illinois and at home against Michigan State showed what the Trojans are capable of, but the results have been inconsistent overall. Not having leading scorer Desmond Claude for recent road losses didn't help. Freshman guard Wesley Yates III has been a reliable scoring threat since Big Ten play began. If USC has any hope of making the tournament, they got to win tonight and probably go on a little bit of a run, I would think. They're 14-11. I also just wonder about, so USC just played at home on Saturday, so that's plenty of travel time for young guys. They haven't played since Saturday, and all they're doing is traveling east. Maryland wins tonight. Book it. Derek Queen, absolute stud. Best freshman in Maryland since Joe Smith. Crazy to think about. Phone lines now. Landfill might say bleep you to me. I think he really enjoyed that college basketball segment. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. It's Bleep You Thursday, and the phone lines are now open.